morning. Appreciate the music team lending their talents, leading us in worship, working to during the week so that we can worship the Lord together. Now, what I'd like to do is to ask you to think about what you would do in situations like these. You have a friend that shows up to work and they're drenching wet because of the rain. And so you ask them if they want to borrow an umbrella. And they say, well, no, I have an umbrella. It's just still in the box that I packed before I moved, and I haven't gotten it out yet. Now, you might say something like, well, you know what you ought to do? When you go home, put that on your to-do list to get that umbrella out of the box, even when it's not raining, and put it by the front door. Get some good use out of it. And they'll say, yeah, that's what I need to do. And then the next time it rains, here they come soaking wet again. Or how about someone who buys a new broom, but it looks so nice and clean, they just can't make themselves put it in the dirt to use it for sweeping. Or someone who walks everywhere because they don't want to have to wash their car. Or how about someone at a county fair, community fair, or get together, and they win these tickets to vocal lessons from the area vocal teacher at the college. And you're with them and you think to yourself, thank you, Lord, because you've heard them try to sing many times. And so you try to encourage them to take advantage of those free tickets for vocal lessons, that golden opportunity, and they say something like, yeah, maybe someday when I have more time, it just isn't a big need. And you're thinking, oh, it is a big need. How do you feel when someone close to you or you spend a lot of time with just won't do what is so obviously needed in their lives? Isn't that frustrating? When you're dealing with somebody and they won't do the most obvious thing that could help them so much. Well, to know the truth, that really could be any of us, couldn't it? Any one of us, or maybe even many of us, could be ones who need to take an obvious step of action that we keep backing away from, that we keep putting off. A step perhaps we keep ignoring. And we're going to see it in our Bible passage this morning. We're going to see how it happens to people. It's going to come right from the mouth of Jesus. And you won't believe who the ones that we'll see at the end of the sermon who are the prime example of it. But what I want to do first of all is look in Luke chapter 8. And verse 16 to begin with. We'll have the verses on the screen, but if you have your Bible, you can turn there if you like. But it says here in Luke chapter 8 and verse 16, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. Now, there's nothing hard to understand about that, is there? When you light a lamp, you light it to use the light, right? You don't light it to hide the light. How ridiculous is that? It would be like leaving an umbrella packed in the box in the closet when you could be using it to keep you dry. The very purpose for it, the very reason it was made. So why does Jesus give this obvious truth? Well, he's using this as an example to teach us something important. Verse 17 will lead us a little closer to the answer. He says, "For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open." He's saying that one day all truth will be made manifest. One day things that are not understood now will be understood by everyone. Everything will become clear one day. Everything will be out in the open. Jesus talked in parables. Many people couldn't understand what he was talking about. He would tell his disciples what the meaning was. One day it's all going to be clear and everything will be out in the open. What is he talking about specifically? Well, in chapter 8 of Luke, we just finished going through Luke's account of the Sermon on the Mount. We're probably more familiar with Matthew's account. But Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about many things about God and about the kingdom of God and what the people of God are supposed to be like and what attitudes we're supposed to have, how we're to treat our enemies, and how we shouldn't just judge other people without looking at ourselves first. And what exactly is true faith? And who is a wise builder and who is a foolish builder? What is true repentance? What is humility? And more he teaches during the Sermon on the Mount. And these are truths, plus many more, that all will recognize one day. Truths like, who exactly is Jesus Christ? Who is God the Father? What he is like? What is true salvation? One day all of these truths will be seen by all. All that's in the dark now, to many people, will come out in the open. Everybody will understand it. Right now, many people don't recognize many truths. Right now, these truths are hidden from so many, and they walk in darkness. But those of us who know Jesus Christ and have been taught from God's word, we know many of those truths, don't we? Because we've heard the teachings of Jesus through the scriptures. We've sat under the teaching of God's word. We've been led into the light of God. And this passage is talking about what are we going to do with that light we have received, that we have walked into. Are we going to hide it in a closet? Are we going to keep it shut up in a bedroom? Are we going to cover it up to make certain no one hears it from us? What are we going to do with that light? One day all of those truths will come out in the open, and everything that we have been taught and more will be obvious to everyone, even to those who now deny those truths, even to those who don't want to hear about those truths, even to those who mock those truths and teach against them and persecute people that believe in them. And one day everyone will be forced to their knees to submit to Jesus Christ and declare him as Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And you see, Jesus is telling his disciples, we who know the truths should not work at hiding them. You don't light a candle to put a basket over it. These truths are meant to be given out to others. And they are meant to spread even to the nations, not lamps hidden under a bed. Therefore, we go to verse 18. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. Jesus is saying here, therefore, pay close attention to how carefully you are listening to my words. You know, Some of us, we started listening to that daily audio Bible. It's a man who reads through the Bible in a year, and he's done it. Now this is his 13th year, 12th or 13th year to do this, and so it's every single day. And I listen to that. I also, of course, work on sermons and have other readings, but this is one way it gets me through the Bible in a whole year. But you know, when you're doing that and you're doing something else, after a few minutes you realize you haven't really been listening. You listen for a few minutes, and then there's a big chunk in there you forgot to listen, or you start doing something else, and something else took your mind up if you're not just sitting down listening. And so sometimes if I have time, I'll go back to it a little bit, but that's just what happens. Sometimes we just don't listen for one reason or another. And Jesus is saying there, consider carefully how you listen. And what he's saying there is, how important are my words to you? How serious are you of taking in the words that I'm teaching you? How highly do you value my teachings as he's teaching that Sermon on the Mount? And so I think we can ask ourselves, you know, this question of reflection. Are we bored with the teachings of the Bible? Or do we seek out understanding in the Word of God? Do we desire to know the Word? How important are Jesus' words to us? Consider carefully how you listen. Then he says, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. Now that doesn't sound right, does it? Whoever already has will be given more. Whoever doesn't have, they're going to be taken. It'll be taken away from them what they have. That sounds kind of backwards, maybe even mean. But here's what he's saying. Jesus, he was talking to his disciples, and it applies to us. He wants us to listen to his words and act upon them. He wants us to listen carefully to his teachings and put them into practice. He wants us to pay attention, close attention to the truths that he teaches, and then make them a part of our lives. And the more of God's truth that we take in, and you might call it walking further into the light, the more that we take in, the more that we seek, and the more that we act upon what God gives us, the more God will give us. Because as we gain an understanding, we get more teaching. Whoever has will be given more. When you act upon the truths you know, you increase in understanding. Doing gives you deeper understanding. A person who does something for a living and has done it many times has deeper understanding into that area. And in the area of the things of Christ, the things of the Lord, we gain in spiritual understanding the more that we seek his teaching, seek his words, and seek to put them into action, which leads to deeper understanding. But it all begins with a receptive heart. It all begins with a humble attitude and an inner desire to know God better. And then it leads to wisdom and joy and contentment and peace. It leads to perseverance when things get tough. It leads to a great hope when things look bad. It leads to love when we'd rather just serve ourselves. It's all there for the taking. God is holding out his hand to us, and then he wants us to hold out our hand to others, others who don't know, because you don't put a lamp under a bed. You don't light a candle to put a basket over it. It's meant to bring light to the room. Now I want to show you one striking example of who wasn't taking advantage of the light during that time when Jesus was talking. It's in verses 19 through 21. Let's see. Whoops. Excuse me. There we go. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside waiting to see you, wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." That kind of sounds like a harsh statement too, doesn't it? But you would think with his mother and brothers out there, he would just kind of move everybody else aside and bring them right in, right? And you would think that's probably what the people were thinking that were telling him that. Your mother and brothers are out there waiting to see you. They think he's either going to get up and go out and talk to them, or he's going to make way for them. But he says, "These are my mother and my brothers, the ones who listen to my words and put them into practice." And so that shows you who it is that becomes a part of Christ, becomes a part of the Lord, are those whose hearts are open to his words and then willing to put it into practice. An open and receptive heart. And even Jesus' earthly family could only be a part of him as the Son of God, as the Messiah, as the Savior, by accepting his truths and acting upon them. They weren't going to be justified or make it into heaven because they were related to him physically. So consider how carefully you listen. And it is with this mindset that I believe we can appropriately prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. Humble hearts ready to receive God's truths. You know, Jesus told us not to hide our lamps under the bed or cover up our lamps. And he told us that when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are proclaiming his death until he comes again. Why would we want to proclaim his death? You kind of want to hide that. You know, there are some religions that say that Jesus did not die on the cross because they want to hold him up as their hero. And anybody who gets beaten and killed by the enemy, that's not a hero. That's a loser. But we know that when Jesus died, that was the victory. Because he was willing to give his life to save us. And it's in the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, as we go to him and ask for forgiveness and accept his death on the cross to pay for our sins, that's how we become right with God. And that's how we become justified and saved. And so this morning we're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper, and as we do, the bread symbolizes his body broken for us, the blood symbolizes his blood shed for us, and in his sacrifice, as we come to him, accepting him, recognizing there's nothing we can do to save ourselves, it's only his sacrifice that saves us, then he accepts us. And so this morning, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've come to him in repentance, forgiveness of sins, then we invite you to take part with us. It's open to everyone who has become a follower of Christ. If you feel like you shouldn't take it this morning for any reason, don't worry about it. Do it according to when you're ready. And what we'll do is we'll just come up. We'll have the music team come up. And we can sit and just reflect on the things we need to bring before the Lord, asking the Lord for forgiveness, devoting our hearts to him. And whenever you're ready to come up, you can come up and take the cup and the bread. So I'm going to ask the music team to come up now. Let me pray now before we come for the communion table. Lord, we thank you for this amazing plan of salvation where the Son of God was sacrificed for our sins. And we thank you for this observance that we have in the church, where we again remember the shedding of your blood, the body you sacrificed. And we pray, Lord, that it would have great meaning for us, and that at these times we can renew our dedication and our allegiance to you, and revive our hope as we walk through this life, waiting to meet you again, waiting for your return. We thank you for this opportunity we have, and we pray that you would draw us close to you and to each other. We pray in Jesus' name.